better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining her door.
Come over here, kid, will you, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic. And you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got to do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress. I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. It is another beautiful Sunday in Sonoma County. The farmer's market today in Sebastopol was just glorious. And on top of it, we're not having to sacrifice rain. It was just so nice. Everything has such a fresh, scrubbed, clean smell when we've had some rain. And market was really crowded, lots of vendors, and a new vendor. I'll even give a little shout out to them, Vine Hill Farm. They had some of the most beautiful radicchio that I have seen at the market. And they had a really nice salad mix that was mostly big leaves of lettuce. And if you know me at all, you know I've been complaining a lot about the dearth of good lettuce. So it was a really great day in the market. There's only three markets left this year in Sebastopol. And after that, we all have to start going to the center as a farmer's market. The November market's really lovely. I highly recommend it. Before I introduce our guests, I wanted to tell you about something that I found earlier today in the New York Times. If you know Mouthful, maybe you're a fan of Mouthful on Facebook, you can get the link. This evening I'm going to post the link to this editorial because I think it's really important. But I did want to talk about it. And it's by Nicholas Kristof. The title, Chemicals in Our Food and Bodies, which on one hand is like, yeah, well, so what else is new? I don't think it's the best title in the world, but when I read it, it's like, okay, somebody mainstream is finally starting to talk about synthetic estrogen and endocrine disruptors. And he talks about bisphenol A or BPA, which is a synthetic estrogen. 92% of Americans have it in their urine. It seems to influence breast cancer, obesity, attention deficit disorder, genital abnormalities. Consumer Reports magazine just tested a whole bunch of canned foods. And the information is in their December issue. And they found pretty high levels of BPA. And it comes from the lining of the cans and other packages. Progressive vegetable soup, Campbell's condensed chicken noodle soup, Del Monte Blue Lake cut green beans. It's found in infant formula. It's found in Nestle juices. And one of the reasons this caught my eye is, as some of you may know, my daughter had thyroid cancer. She had it, we think, for quite a long time. She was treated for it in 2007, treated successfully. My niece also had thyroid cancer, and I know a number of people who have had it recently, some of whom who are being treated now. And the specialist who treated my daughter down at Stanford, he was the country's leading specialist in thyroid cancer at the time. He has since retired. And he said, what no one will tell you, because no one's talking about it, is that it absolutely has to be environmental factors. And he said endocrine disruptors, which is what the synthetic estrogen is. According to this article in the Times today, with it being in use by United States factories and everything from plastics to epoxies and food containers, 6 pounds are ingested by each American per year. 6 pounds of just one type of synthetic estrogen. Canada is the first country to conclude that it is hazardous to humans. There are several bills now before Congress that want to ban BPA from food and beverage containers. One of the ways that we get access to this, or that the BPA gets access to us, is in microwaving foods in containers that carry it. I think this is hugely important. I think it's going to become increasingly important. I think it already is important, and we're just not talking about it so much. They haven't necessarily traced the link to all of these obvious problems, such as obesity and the type 2 diabetes that often comes out of that. So I really encourage everyone to take a look at this, and in case this makes you just want to go to bed or eat something really bad because it's also overwhelming, there is one very simple way to very quickly reduce the amount that you're exposed to. And it's the philosophy that Mouthful has always had, which is eating foods from people that you know, farmers who grow those foods, and they're not in packages, and you just cook them yourself. That's one way. Don't buy products that are in cans and in plastic. Don't drink water if you can avoid it out of plastic bottles. But I think this really is important. I was really glad to see that the New York Times had this as their editorial today, and my guest just took her bottle of water and tucked it under the console. And, you know, we all do it. Sometimes you're thirsty, and the only thing that's there is a plastic bottle of water. It's tough. On that note, Condra Easley from Patisserie Angelica, who makes many wonderful things to delight your palate. Also in the studio with us is Debbie Morris. Okay, for a minute I thought, oh no, it's not Morris, who you work with, your sister at Patisserie Angelica. And I do want to tell everyone, in case you are among the mistaken, it's not closed. It's open. It's thriving. It is only the daily retail cafe that is no longer open. Thank you for coming to Mouthful.
Thank you.
So it's only been, how long has it been? A month?
It's been a month.
Yeah. Are you rested yet?
No.
No?
It's a busy time of year.
That's true.
Yeah. So it's definitely busy. But no, it's just a matter of getting people used to it. It's actually something that's a little, it actually should be easier for people now to order, because many times they would come in the bakery and there would be so many things to look at. And, you know, it would be almost like they were picking out a car, you know. Oh, I don't know. Should I get that? Yeah. Do I want turbo? Do I want... No, it's a cake. But now they can go online to letthemailcake.com. Mm-hmm.
Say that again, letthemailcake. And we'll spell that out for you towards the end of the show.
And we have a locals only. So it's actually a virtual retail now.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it.
Yeah, so they can go see what we have. We can do things same day as well, which I think a lot of people are thinking, well, I can't just stop in and get something. But many times you forget the husband's birthday or somebody important and you need something, or you're going to a dinner party, you can call us up in the morning and say, hey, what do you have? Because we do have things on hand every day.
Mm-hmm. The mail order business is really thriving. You send things all over the country,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're there and you're working, and you're not just working if somebody calls you. You know, you're there, you have things.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, it was pretty crazy when we first decided to close, because people thought we were going out of business, or you're saying, well, where are you going to bake? And we bake in the back.
Right.
Yeah, the front is now our employee lunchroom for now.
And it's just such a charming little employee. It makes me want to come work for you. It's a great little front room. And you do consultations. People stop,
yes.
You know, arrange to come and pick things up, and they have to ring the doorbell, which is so nice.
Yeah, speakeasy. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we should say, now you have that little barbecue joint now right next door.
Yeah, Larry Vito. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And is it, I mean, are they there enough that it's like having a neighbor? I hadn't actually realized
we
right
never
there.
Saw him before he opened up his barbecue joint.
Uh-huh.
So now we see him almost every day.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And does he have people in there? They sort of eat. It's semi-outside. It's like tented.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So is he open every day?
I think he's closed on Monday.
Okay, but he's open a lot.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. Okay. And let's see. Debbie, is your mic? Yeah. You can join us, right?
I can join you.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the history, because you started out in Santa Rosa, right?
Yes.
You were there on Mendocino where there was absolutely no parking.
Yeah, it was, we thought location, location, location. We thought, oh, we're so close to downtown and, you know, I don't know, 120,000 cars go by a day, and yet people couldn't find a place to park, and people downtown went, oh, you're not our downtown bakery, you're too far away.
It was like a three-minute walk.
Yeah. It was a three-minute walk. And but it got us, I guess because of the lack of people coming in, it got Condra out there trying to figure out another way to get people connected to our products.
So you really opened as retail?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We did. And we wanted to do weddings and knew that this was a good area to explore that. But we originally started out with one of our first accounts was the Dean and DeLuca store in St. Helena.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, we started out doing desserts for them and then did some desserts for other chefs and restaurants. And Condra decided that she said, well, as long as we're in their store for Dean and DeLuca, let's find out about the catalog. So 10 years ago was when we first went in their catalog.
Oh, okay.
So it's been a long and interesting road with that one. But now that we've closed the retail portion of it, it seems like we've created this space for other things to start happening. Mm-hmm. So the phone calls are coming in from other people who do mail order that want to talk with us about partnering with them.
Uh-huh.
So there's some good things happening.
Great. And you've gotten a lot of recognition in national magazines lately, right?
Oh, we've been really lucky.
You were telling me at the farmer's market, you were telling me a few weeks ago some of the things that either had just happened or are coming up.
Yes. I have a cake that was selected for Brides Magazine.
That's right.
And they did it last year, and I didn't get in because I wouldn't compromise what I was doing. She had suggestions. The editor had some suggestions about what she wanted changed, and I wouldn't do it.
Good for you.
Well, so I didn't get in. Uh-huh. But this year they did select one of my designs. So it's pretty exciting. It comes out in April. And it's kind of if you want to know what's happening in wedding cakes, you get that issue.
Oh, really?
That's what's happening in wedding cakes, because it's the top eight cake artists around the country. And of course, when they say come up with a design, you really show out. Not many of them are cakes that you could recreate at a wedding, because some of them get really far out. I like to design cakes where if someone says, can I have that for my wedding? I can say, yes, you can, as opposed to, well, no, I don't think so. But it was exciting, and shipped it off UPS, and it arrived in one piece.
Wow.
Yeah.
It didn't come back in one piece.
Oh, they actually sent it back to you?
They sent it back. They called and said, you want it back? We said yes. And they said, okay, we'll pack it up. And I picked it up, and I heard it was like glass in there.
How many tiers?
It was a three-tier.
Okay, can you describe it?
Yeah. So there were three ovals. It was a 6, a 10, and a 14. And ovals are unusual in wedding cakes, so I thought it would be really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And I did this new technique I've been doing, which is using a stencil. And so it would be like a floor stencil or a wall stencil that you would put down and paint mm-hmm. with. So what I do is I use royal icing. And so I put this stencil on the cake, and I rub the... Oh, here I'm giving secrets.
It's
okay.
I have
to kill everybody. All right. So that could spread on there, and then you very carefully lift off the stencil, and so you have a raised design. Uh-huh. And so there are little polka dots all over. Remember the old blouses that kind of had the see-through fabric that had the flocked polka dots on it?
I still have them.
Oh, okay. Well, that was the inspiration.
Oh, cool.
And then it has this bevy of ruffles that's reminiscent of like the poet shirts that were really ruffly, that start at the top and just kind of undulate down the side of the cake, the front of the cake. And then the whole thing is I luster dusted, airbrushed it with a luster, so it's all sparkle-arkle.
An edible luster.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Oh, well, everything's better with luster dust. I love luster dust. And, you know, if you're embossing or doing something, When you put the luster dust on it, it really pops out that design. Also, if I can't get a color, if someone wants a certain color, mm-hmm. I can use the luster. Because when you're working with sugar and the food colorings, it's really, you have to be a mix master. And mm-hmm. sometimes you just can't get that color. So if you use the luster, then it definitely brings that color out.
And what is luster?
Well, we've had to go away from the luster dust because it wasn't FDA approved. And then they found out that it had arsenic and lead. Was it?
Yeah.
Arsenic and lead.
Oh.
You know, for years I was going, well, what is luster dust? What is it? What
do
you,
nobody
what?
Would tell anybody.
And nobody would tell
really?
Anybody for good reason, probably.
It's just eye makeup.
Yeah, basically. I mean, it's like
basically
eye makeup.
It's eye makeup, but edible eye makeup.
Yeah.
Edible eyeshadow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now the FDA has come out with all new ones that are actually edible. So it's kind of like dragees. You know how FDA banned dragees? The little silver and gold.
I wondered what happened to those.
Yes. So, but the thing is, if you maybe ate 2 kilos of them, something would happen.
But they ban those, but, you know,
they leave
the estrogen. They leave estrogen.
On the market.
Yeah. Yeah. And they leave, you know, synthetic estrogen is okay to line, you know, the can of the soup you eat when you're sick.
Hey, well, Mom put them on our cookies. We aren't, nothing happened to
yeah.
us.
But. So are those gone forever?
We can't get them. We have to get them illegally.
Legally.
Yeah, we have to. When I go to France, I buy them, uh-huh. and they won't ship to California anymore. So we've gone to edible pearls, and then if we need gold or anything like that, we'll use the edible luster dust and roll it so we can get the color that we want. If we want gold or silver.
Wow, I bet you didn't know those things about wedding cakes, did you?
Yeah.
We're going to take a little spoken word interlude here with Vincent Price. For reasons that will become obvious very quickly.
Should I tell you the greatest secret of them all? Yes, I've gone this far. I suppose I should. But this is for the ears of females only. If there is a man at your side, send him away. For he should not know this. What every young girl should know. In all the history of witchcraft and magic, since how many thousands of years we cannot know, there is another charm, the most antique and efficacious of them all, compounded of fire, pain, and passion, used by women throughout the ages to enmesh the hearts of men and enslave them in the web of love forever, and used by some who know its power today. It is the magic cake. It is also called the Conferiatio, which from furthest Asia to Europe and the New World has ever been the sacrament of love. Its purpose is to bind not only the soul, but also the flesh, so that dead to all other women, the man shall live and breathe for this one only. It is no trifling matter, girls. The woman cannot perform this magic alone. She must have the help of another woman, a witch. The witch strips the suppliant to the skin. She must then lie naked on her back with candles burning. The witch now lays a wooden board upon the woman's loins, and on that, a small brazier of burning charcoal with a miniature oven. In this she bakes the magic cake. The dough is made much like any other of flour or meal, butter, eggs, milk, sweetened with honey. But this cake must also contain a few drops of the woman's blood. As the cake is baking, the woman may cry out that she can bear no more. But it must be so. The cake is cooking, hot flame of passion, antiquity, of Hindu and ancient Roman marriage rites, seasoned and hotly with passion and anguish of her loins. She will now take the cake to the man she loves and give it as a gift for him to eat before her eyes. At the first bite, she feels a strange tumult of the senses, a giddiness. His heart beats faster. His blood rises and grows hot. His face is flushed with blushes and his body burns. He is seized by the madness we call love, and a raging, inextinguishable desire rises in him that will burn each time he looks upon this woman until the day he dies.
Yes, when is a cake more than a cake? We are talking about wedding cakes and other cakes of love with Debbie Morris and Condra Eastley of Patisserie Angelica in Sebastopol and around the country, and soon to be in Brides Magazine. So is that the core of your business, the wedding cakes, or just cakes in general?
I would say about one-third of our business is the wedding cakes.
Uh-huh.
And then the mail order has really gotten much bigger.
Mm-hmm. And you can't mail order wedding cakes?
No. We do little ones.
Little ones, one tier.
One tier, two tier at the most. And one of the nice things that we do is when brides have their wedding, we, you know, they always say, well, you know, should I save the top? And we say, no, don't save the top. Just call us. We'll keep a record of your cake.
Oh.
And then we'll send you a fresh cake a year later. And it's much nicer.
Uh-huh.
And then we keep the design and you know, then send them off a little cake.
Uh-huh.
So we have luck shipping that size, but not anything bigger. I don't want to deal with shipping full on 14.
And we don't have
cakes.
A private jet to
jet
all over to deliver cakes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah. I'd rather do cakes in Sonoma and Napa than have to deal with. We've taken cakes on planes before, and it's very hairy.
Oh my gosh, I can imagine.
Yes. If they're all individually boxed and you see them coming out of the baggage.
Oh, then you have to check them?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And it's like, okay, there's one. There's one tier. Okay, there's the next tier. Waiting. Okay, there's box number three. Okay, we got three tiers so far.
And what is it, like a seven-tiered cake or something? That's the tallest cake you ever made.
I think seven tiers.
Seven tiers.
Yeah. To the point where we normally stack our cakes before we travel with them. With something that big, I can't get it in the van, so...
Uh-huh.
Put it together on the spot.
Assemble mm-hmm. it when you get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get fairly tricky.
Do you have any disaster stories about wedding cakes?
People love disaster stories.
Yes. Like, you know, 110 degrees and it melted.
I think the best one is the Aspen one, huh?
Yeah, we had done a basket weave cake that was so beautiful.
Basket weave?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So it was all...
So it was buttercream.
Handpipe buttercream, and it was then supposed to... And we had a big handle over the basket, and it was filled with flowers. And we're driving along, and we just...
Wait, you drove to Aspen?
Well, no, this is when we lived
When we lived there.
Yep. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we were...
Deb was following me in the car, and I'm driving, and all of a sudden I hear this really horrible sound that I know means that the cake is falling apart.
Oh, no.
I pull over. She pulls up behind me. I get out like a deer in headlights, and I said, something's wrong with the cake. I can't look. And sure enough, the whole side had fallen off because that was the first carved cake that I ever did. Mm-hmm. And you can't think literally when you're doing it. You have to make it look like it,
right.
But it doesn't literally have to be it. Well, I made it a basket.
You actually made it into a basket.
Yeah, where there were sides. And, you know, afterward it was, well, okay, all I would have had to do was put the flowers in there and no one would have known that it was not a basket.
Right.
So she said, okay. Because she's good under pressure. I'm not. I crumble. Okay. She goes, I'll go take the groom's cake to them, and you go back to the bakery and fix it. So I was pulling, of course, people don't want to hear this, but I was pulling out every frozen piece of cake I had in the freezer.
Sure.
Putting it back, and then did the buttercream again. And so Deb was keeping them at bay. Oh, yeah, she's on the way. You know, because it's so hot today, she needs to take a little longer. So I put it in a box because I didn't want to look at it. And now we deliver everything in boxes. Unlike the cake shows you see where they just throw the cake in the back of a van, you don't do that.
Oh, I don't. I've not seen the cake shows. So.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, you don't do that. So we had it in a box. We got to the location. I opened it up. It was fine.
Okay.
Oh, I was so happy. So we were carrying it in, and all of a sudden, another side starts falling off, and I just took my hand, and I just went, right in the side of the cake. And we walk in, and fortunately, it was a good friend of ours who was the caterer. And everyone's going, oh, my gosh, look at that cake. And the photographer comes over, and I said, just give us a few minutes to get it set up, and then I'll call you over, and you can take some pictures. And so we set the cake down, and I take my hand, and I put it behind my back, and I kind of back up to a garbage can and flick the cake off. And then, and so we put some flowers there, and the bride came out, and she said, oh, it's even more beautiful than I thought it would be. And we get out to the car, and I need to go for a drink.
I was going to say, you head to the bar. Absolutely.
But that was the worst one. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are things where you might forget the backup cake, and you just
backup cake.
Yeah, where the main cake won't supply everybody.
Oh, so you have the sheet cake that's going to feed people.
Yeah, we don't actually do the sheet cake deal, but
or whatever.
Yeah, and you know, you'll get back, and then you'll go in the walk-in and go,
and there it is.
Oh no! So then you have to drive all the way back over to Auberge or wherever you are. So yeah, we have systems in place now.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that doesn't happen too much. Yeah, the beginning of wedding season, it's always hard.
One of the first weddings I ever catered, it was like 105 degrees.
Oh.
And it was in Marin. It was very small. It was either 12 people or 14 people. And I had everything, including the cake, in my car that didn't have air conditioning.
Oh.
And I just remember looking at this cake that's sitting on the floor of the front seat as I'm driving to Marin. I mean, luckily, everyone was melting, so they sort of understood. But the cake was compromised to some degree.
It's a live and learn thing. Yeah. You know, every time you do something, it's like we never had a contract because we thought, oh, you know, the more things you say, you're just going to bring all that negativity on you. Well, now we have a contract.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, we were behind a big accident on Highway 12, and we were on our way to B.R. Cohen with a cake. And there was a horrible, horrible accident, and you couldn't go anywhere. And this was back, I didn't have a cell phone, so I'm running from car to car. Do you have a cell phone? Do you have a cell phone? To finally find someone who would let me use it to call B.R. Cohen, and they said, yes, we heard there was an accident. It's okay.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on. Let's move on to other. I mean, I think that's interesting. I think it's important to know those things.
Well, I teach at the Culinary Institute, and everybody wants to know. Uh-huh. Have you had anything happen?
Sure.
Because they want to know. Because if it happens to them,
what can go wrong? And when it does go wrong, what do you do?
What do you do?
Yeah.
Cry. No, act calm.
Act calm and then go have a drink.
Yeah.
You do more than cakes. You were saying that the wedding cakes are about a third of your business. Mail order, another third or so, or more?
Mail order's gotten bigger.
It's gotten bigger.
And then we do a lot of special occasion cakes for people, that, mm-hmm. you know, for weddings, not just wedding anniversaries, mm-hmm. birthday cakes for kids. I mean, Condra's just gotten so creative lately. It's just been really fun. Last week, a four-year-old wanted to have a diamondback rattlesnake on the top of his cake. And hers came out so great. And, you know, you just watching the things that are coming out of the bakery now mm-hmm. is just so much fun. And I just finished putting together a book of groom's cakes that we've done.
What do guys want for groom's cakes?
Football helmets, footballs, the terrible towel. I'm doing a golf course. I did a Dodgers cake.
Yeah.
Do they want anything that doesn't have to do with sports?
Well, I am the last person they want doing any sports things because I don't know. I was like, well, the Dodgers, the baseball or football, because I don't know any of it. So they've got to clue me in on it. And I make them send me things.
Mm-hmm.
Next week is a championship wrestling belt.
Yep.
For the
That's
cake.
That's been fun.
She's done sports cars and Well, I think the most fun one that we did was for Andy's when it was his birthday and the kids brought us a picture of the produce truck that they, you know, sometimes wheel out from the garage and put in front of their old panel truck. And Condra made that with all the different fruits and vegetables coming out of the back of the truck. So she had little cabbages and bananas and fruits and things. And it was just so great. And he didn't even want to eat it. It was so wonderful.
Yeah. What did you use to make the fruits and vegetables?
Gum paste.
Oh, gum paste. Okay.
Mm-hmm. and yeah. some marzipan.
Marzipan would okay. have been better, but uh-huh. but gum paste.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, marzipan is the one I know about. I know this one wedding. I turned down catering it, but I learned a lot about what they were going to do when I interviewed them. And for the cake, they insisted the cake had to be a mountain with a road going up to the top. Had to be like Mount Tam or something, mm-hmm. and with the sports car that the husband drove driving up to the top. And it had to actually, you know, you had to see the tarmac and, you know, this big
yep.
glob. And somebody went to the wedding and they said, oh, yeah, they had that cake. It was pretty ugly. They had the cake. But it was a wedding in Ross. And it's so long ago, I can talk about it. It's a wedding in Ross. And they wanted it done very cheaply. Because if you did a wedding in Ross, then you were going to get all these other weddings, so you'd make a lot of money. But they wanted it for $15 a person, which included the cake and the service and everything else. And it was like, there was just no way I could do it. So they got a caterer to do it. And either the caterer or the people whose house it was at or somebody forgot to check the automatic sprinklers.
Oh!
Which all came on in the middle of the reception.
Oh, dear.
I've been so glad forever that it wasn't me.
Oh, I'd hate to be a caterer.
Yeah.
So, you know, with closing the retail, too, mm-hmm. it's given me more time where I'm less hectic, where I can do things like that.
Be more creative. You can just be do the creative side of things.
It really takes a lot of time, and that's one thing that people don't realize when they want something, that many times the groom's cake will end up costing as much or more than the wedding cake.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
I mean, I think if you're going to make a cake, if you're going to make a football helmet uh-huh. cake, mm-hmm. I would imagine that's going to take a lot of time and effort.
And for it to look good, too.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because then you need the team logo and all of that. So, yeah, it's been really fun, and I'm uh-huh. enjoying that. I would like doing more of that for just people that want an unusual birthday cake, or mm-hmm. Sometimes people will let their kids choose,
mm-hmm.
and they'll get all crazy, and I'll say, I'll do mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, Lucas's birthday cake that you did, though, wasn't crazy. Just cheetah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's cheetah skin birthday cake.
Uh-huh.
You do things in addition to cakes. I know that you gave me that wonderful handmade lollipop.
Oh, yes.
So you're still doing some of the confections as well.
Yes.
Let's talk about those a little bit. Is that you? Do you do any of the cooking, baking, Debbie?
No, I get to do all the decorating.
Oh, you do all the
yeah.
So all those
yeah.
ravens and stuff. and they, so the cake decorating or the?
I actually do the cake decorating.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, with Condra. But I do all, when the cakes are ready to be wrapped with the fondant, that's my specialty.
Oh.
So I wrap the cakes and then uh-huh. Condra does most of the final decorating, but uh-huh. You know, there's certain parts of it that I get to do. But
so that holiday cake that you did for Halloween.
Oh,
that looks like a giant candy corn.
The candy uh-huh. corn.
Did you put that fondant on?
I did, but Condra did the airbrushing.
So it was airbrushing. Because I'm looking, thinking, how did they make fondant look? So it's uh-huh. airbrushing.
Airbrush, yeah.
Oh,
and
okay.
the pumpkins that we're doing for Thanksgiving, we've got a ghost pumpkin. So it's the kind of the white with luster dust.
Is it beautiful. Luminar?
Gold trim.
Luminaria? What are the white ones called? The ghost.
The name of the pumpkin?
Yes.
I don't know. I think there's a number of them.
Well, we put together a couple of years ago, we put together what we call our heirloom pumpkin collection. So there's the orange one that's airbrushed with a little bit of red and a little, you know, then there's the gold. And then we also have the green one because I love buying pumpkins and I love getting the green pumpkins first and then watching uh-huh. them change color.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for Thanksgiving, people can order out of the heirloom collection
uh-huh.
and they're beautiful.
And these are cakes.
Yes.
And uh-huh. what's inside them? What kind of cake do you, say for Thanksgiving, what kind of cake would you?
The pumpkin cake is a vanilla spice cake. Mm-hmm. So it's a really lightly spiced cake
uh-huh.
with praline buttercream and chocolate fudge.
Mm, praline buttercream. Yum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a really fun one to do. And we sell a lot of them for Halloween. And then the big time, though, is for Thanksgiving. And they go all over the country. It's been wonderful.
But you asked about chocolates.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the confections and that sort of thing.
So when I was in Paris, I had the opportunity to work at La Maison du Chocolat. And that really instilled in me, well, all my training that I did really instilled in me how I wanted to do my pastry making and chocolate making. So I do enjoy making chocolates. I don't have a tempering machine, so I have to do it all by hand. Mm-hmm. So we don't wholesale them.
Mm-hmm.
And around Valentine's Day, I do more different kinds. Mm-hmm. We're thinking about having a chocolate week
Valentine's.
Mm-hmm.
There's a void out there when it comes to chocolates now that
Veronica
Bowers is not doing it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, no one has filled that. There's some good chocolates out there, but nobody is. That's open. You girls can step in.
We can step in. Yeah, I don't want to get into molding and all of that.
Yeah, just her. It's her flavors.
Yes,
it's her flavors and her textures. She had a purity to both the flavor and the texture that is good as some of these other chocolate makers here. I completely respect them; they're good, but there's that pristine quality that she had.
It's hard to get, you know, and I like that in our pastries as well, mm-hmm. but with. When you try this, whenever you do infusions, people have a tendency to over infuse, or they do a mm-hmm. hot infusion where you get the bitterness of the coffee or the ginger or the mm-hmm. tea. And we do cold infusions
mm-hmm.
where you just get that little where your eyes roll back in your head and you go, is so good.
You know, that's a really easy thing for people to test at home too. It's a little bit harder in cooler weather, but since we're still having warm weather, if you don't quite understand what that difference might be, on a nice day, you put your favorite tea. You know, I do pu'er, just mm-hmm. a really simple, high-quality pu'er. You put that outside. You put it in cold water outside. You let it infuse cold, but in the sunlight. And then you make a cup of tea and drink them side by side. It's very
big
different.
Difference.
Huge difference what it extracts. And it's much more gentle.
Mm-hmm.
And it also brings out qualities. It brings out some of the more subtle qualities that don't get brought out in a hot infusion. So that's really cool to know that that's what you guys are doing.
Yeah, vanilla, coffee, teas, lavender. Lavender is one of the most abused.
Oh, completely.
Yeah, because you don't want it like I say, sucking on a potpourri.
Yeah, you don't want it to taste like soap.
No. Grandma's lingerie drawer or anything, especially with rose. But that's where the cold infusion comes in, where you get that really delicate, sublime flavor. And then when you combine it with chocolate, then that flavor just kind of unfolds in your mouth. And I think that's mm-hmm. That's how chocolate should be.
Mm-hmm. That's just such a great explanation. Thank you for that. I hadn't really, you know, it's just bringing so many things together. I really appreciate it. We're going to take another musical break here on Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. It's Mouthful. It's Michelle Jordan. Thanks for sticking with us tonight or listening if it's by podcast that you are hearing us. That was, of course, Graham Parsons' $1,000 wedding. His birthday was very recent. And there was another Graham Parsons tribute show again at the Last Day Saloon in Santa Rosa. It was on Friday night. Laughing Gravy, led by Doug Jane, did an absolutely fabulous job once again. Should put it on your calendar for next year. Wasn't publicized much this year, and it was not a huge turnout, but it is really great music and great fun. And good information. If you don't know who Graham Parsons is, you should. There's a lot of music that would not be around today had he not been here for the brief time he was here. Okay, but we're talking about cake and candy and sugar and
cream and butter.
Airbrushing.
Yeah.
I do watch Project Runway because I like to sew. I like to sew and I like to design. And when I found out that Project Runway was about that rather than about models, it's like, oh, cool. So I started watching. But when they're getting ready to show the week's things, they do a little bit of the makeup, and they're there with airbrushes on the models. Like, I didn't know they airbrushed models. Wow. And now they airbrush cakes. I had no idea.
I offered to airbrush some of our employees for Halloween, but no one went for it.
Oh, you can sign me up for next year.
Okay.
Yes, we'll talk.
The gold will look great on you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be a thundercloud.
Okay.
So we've got lightning happening and silver rain, you know. And we
just
can make
hope
some,
it doesn't rain.
There it goes. Well, we can work some. We can work some gold in there too. So yeah, the airbrush. It's interesting. I thought airbrushing was just responsible for some of that really really bad art in the 1970s.
I think it goes on.
much better use is on cakes because that cake of the candy corn. It was just so beautiful and so delicious.
Made you smile.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So we started to talk about something else. Oh, I know. It was some upcoming events.
Yeah,
is that what we're going to talk about next?
Yes.
So you're having an open house.
A holiday open house, yeah.
So talk about that.
Well, we do a tasting every year because there's so many different things we do for not only Thanksgiving, but for the holiday. Can I say Christmas? Because it's for Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas.
Of course you can.
And it's just an opportunity for people to come in and we have samples and they can try different things and decide what it is they want to order for the holiday. And, you know, because sometimes they might look at something and I wonder, well, why would I buy a pumpkin pie? Well, because it's our mom's recipe. And so is the southern pecan pie.
Ooh,
our mom was
pecan
a
pie.
Fabulous, fabulous pie maker. And so both of those are her recipes. And it's just a chance for people, especially now, since we've been closed, it'll be a chance for people to come in and say hi and get a croissant and
taste the Bûche de Noël.
Yeah.
Okay, so you'll have all that. You'll have the Bûche de Noël.
So it'll be Thanksgiving and Christmas.
And Christmas.
And it's just a real fun time to celebrate and thank our customers. And
What we have to drink?
Well, I think we're going to have to make some of the French hot chocolate.
I was wondering.
Yeah. Yep, the espresso machine will be fired up. So.
Uh-huh. And it's taking place 13th and 14th. That's Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday.
11 to 3.
11 to 3, yes.
And you're down there in Sebastopol by the movie theater. Is it on Morris?
It's on Morris Street.
Yeah, it's on Morris. Yeah. I know why we're in Sebastopol. I don't necessarily know what's the names of streets. I just go.
Yeah, whenever anyone asks me, I don't know where that street is.
Yeah.
Yeah, next to the movie. But, you know, we were saying, you know, someone noticed that it was Parkside and Hillside. And what was the other one?
Creekside.
All the different cafes. They're all side. So we have to be like the movie side or
Parkside Cafe.
They were talking about the
Creekside
and Jeffrey's Hillside.
Now, which one's that?
Jeffrey Madura.
That's right. I keep forgetting.
That was in Chris Smith's column. He said, if you want to have a successful little cafe, you need to put side on it.
Perfect.
That was good.
Has Jeffrey opened yet?
Yes.
He has. Okay, that's right.
I think he's been open for a couple months now.
That's right. I kept, for some reason, that would just like fly out of my head like a little bird.
Yeah.
And then you're having with our mutual friend, Barbara Friedman, who does these really interesting washi egg decorating classes.
They're beautiful.
Yeah, it's mulberry. It's actual mulberry paper. Decorative mulberry paper, and she teaches you how to make egg ornaments. And she's doing classes. I know she's doing some classes at Coffee Cats, several classes at Coffee Cats, and I think somewhere else in December. But she's doing a class and a tea at Patisserie Angelica, and that's on November 17th, I think we agreed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. Yeah. We're going to take over the kitchen and line up the tables.
Oh, so people will actually have a space to work in the kitchen.
Yeah.
What a great idea.
Yeah, it's really nice. Now that, you know, we're not worrying about retail, then I can do other things in there. You know, hopefully Condra will be doing some unbelievable classes in the future.
What a great idea.
Maybe.
Yeah, she's been wanting me to do classes. So.
Yeah. Now, you say you teach at the CIA. Tell us about that.
Oh, I've been there for almost 10 years, and I teach advanced decorating and wedding cakes to professional chefs. So, you know, it's something where you have to be in the business in order to take the class because we start. We don't have time to talk about creaming and mixing and all of that.
Yeah,
we
just hit it.
Get right into it.
Yeah.
But a new one that I am teaching now, which I really love, there's no baking involved. Everything's done on styrofoams. And it's more like the tricks of the trade. Because if you're just starting out with cakes, or if you're used to doing buttercream cakes and you don't do fondant, and you're looking through the magazines and you see these cakes, it's like, well, how do you do that? So whenever I was teaching, that's what I would get. How do you do that? How do they do this? How did they get this effect? So I thought, well, why not do just a whole class on how do you do this?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's more to for them to tap into their own creativity and not think about, think out of the cake box, I'll say.
Uh-huh.
So they come up with some new tricks that they can offer to people and expand their line of what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
So it's really fun for me, too.
Uh-huh. For people who don't work in a kitchen, who don't bake, let's tell them what fondant is.
Oh. Well,
I know, because my mother was one of the world's worst cooks. She could not cook. Or she didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not sure. She didn't do very well. But early to middle of November until Christmas, she would start making candy. And every day that I would come home from school, she had these two huge binders, you know, sort of denim-y kind of binders, filled with recipes she had cut out of newspapers and magazines for years. And she would have it open to her candy section.
Aww.
And she would make all these different colors of fondant. She would make divinity, many different kinds of fudge,
uh-huh.
lots of fondants in all different colors. And my favorite, which was Panucci.
I loved
Panucci. It's close to caramel. You know,
yeah.
I like caramel.
Yeah.
So I know what fondant is, but I realized if I didn't have that background, I wouldn't really know what fondant
was. Well, it's a sugar product, mm-hmm. and you can make it yourself, but it's really hard to make. You need a phenomenal mixer, really heavy duty mixer.
Uh-huh.
So we buy ours.
Oh, you buy fondant, okay.
And it's a Swiss product, the one we use. And
uh-huh.
there are really bad ones on the market, and we've had the opportunity to try them all. And I like to say that this one is the least innocuous of them all, because mm-hmm. if someone says, oh, that's not bad, then you know it's a good fondant.
Oh, okay.
Because normally they're really grainy. They stick to your teeth. It's hard to cut. And it should never be hard.
Uh-huh.
So when you buy it, it's fairly hard. You've got to knead it and soften it up.
So is it like a dough, but it's sugar instead of...
It's a sugar dough.
And is it the sugar has been melted? It has been taken to what? The softball stage?
No, it's not cooked.
Oh, it's not cooked?
It's not cooked.
Oh.
No. It's like a marshmallow. So it's uh-huh. pretty much the same ingredients that go into a marshmallow.
Which are?
Well, there's confectioner sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have gelatin in them, but they mm-hmm. don't have to have gelatin in mm-hmm. them. And it's just, there's a little bit of shortening, unfortunately. That's mm-hmm. about the only trans fats we use.
Some high fructose corn syrup?
No, that doesn't have fat in there.
Okay.
No. You know, and there's flavorings and there's a few bad things, but it is shipped from Europe, so they have to... A little stuff in there to preserve it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, making it is really hard because it's like any kind of sugar product, it's hygroscopic. So if it's rainy outside, you've got a totally different product.
Mm-hmm.
And plus it can burn out your motor. So we go through buckets and buckets of it.
Oh.
So we buy it.
Okay, that makes sense.
And the kind that we use, should I say it on the air? No.
You can.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
We use Masatuccino.
You can say that on the air with
yeah.
no worries.
Masatuccino from Switzerland, but I think one of the worst ones is Satin Ice.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to get, because I teach, you know, they always try and get you, oh, boy, if we had that contract at the CIA, woo, we'd be set. But when you open it up, it smells like chemicals.
Ew.
When you taste it, it tastes like chemicals. Uh-huh. Now, why would you want to put that on your cake?
You wouldn't.
You wouldn't want to put it on your cake.
You want a cake to taste good.
Yes.
You know, it seems like a no-brainer, but...
Well, we have a lot of people who have fear of fondant, but we always uh-huh. have them try it.
And uh-huh.
we move some people over to the fondant side.
Yours, the candy corn cake was really good.
Yeah, it's a really good fondant product, and mm-hmm. I love it. I love working with
it. I just imagined you there, like, mixing, you know, these
the
cauldrons of fondant
yeah.
and then, like, having it like a laminating machine that, you know,
well,
stretched
have,
it really. Is that how you put it through a laminator to get it nice and
yeah,
thin and even?
Yeah, we've got a sheeter that has special, uh-huh. it's a dough sheeter, but we had special mats put on there
mm-hmm.
that are just flat, shiny mats mm-hmm. as opposed to the burlap.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just slides through, and then you've got the big stainless steel drums that go around, and that's what flattens it out.
Flattens it.
Yeah.
It makes my life really easy.
Uh-huh.
It does. The first candy corn cake that we ever made, though, I mixed up three different colors, and I had the orange and the yellow and the white, and we banded it around and then tried to, you know, kind of subtly
smooth
the seam away, and it was still absolutely adorable. But when Condra started working with airbrushing a couple years ago, then she said, oh, well, now the candy corn's easy. We can airbrush it. It's just so
I have learned so much this hour, so many things I just had no idea about.
I look forward to doing your Halloween costume next year.
I'm very excited about that. Believe me, I've been wanting to be a thundercloud or a rain cloud for a long time. I wasn't allowed to this year. I had to be a witch by command.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yes.
It only makes sense.
I make a good witch. All my clothes are black, so, you know, I wear it well.
You didn't have to go out and buy anything.
No. Like, you can blindfold me. I stick my hand in my closet, and there's a witch's costume. So we should tell people how it works. People who, let's talk to locals only first. This Mouthful is a podcast as well. Uh-huh. Listen to around the country and to some degree around the world. And you know, we have listeners in Australia, Israel.
Yeah, we don't ship that far. Yeah,
but ship all over the United States. Can certainly look at your website. And yeah.
So for locals only, they go to letthemmailcake.com.
Just as it's spelled, letthemmailcake.com.
So the little play on let them eat cake. Mm-hmm. And go to locals only. And there's actually so many things out there. It's almost overwhelming. But we've got the Palais that I brought you.
Mm-hmm.
We have that on there. We have the chocolate lollipops, truffles, peanut envy, which is fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. It's like it's a fancy gourmet adult candy. Especially the name. But then all of our different four-tier, more classic cakes are on there. And then our signature desserts. So they've got the option of looking ahead of time and just calling us, which is fine. You know, we're here. Mm-hmm. We're there every day.
Yeah.
They can call and say, hey, do you have a raspberry truffle cake today? Yes, we do. Or if they want to order ahead of time, they can actually order it and pay for it and say when they want to pick it up.
And then if you're around the country, they also go to Let Them Mail Cake. They just don't click on locals only.
Yeah, because there's some things on locals only that we don't ship.
Ship, yeah.
They just don't ship well.
Okay, well, on that note, we're out of time. Time flies.
Time flies when you're talking about luster dust.
You guys are so fun. Thank you so much. It's Patisserie Angelica, Debbie Morris, and Condra Eastley. See them in Sebastopol. Check them out on their website at Let Them Eat Cake. It is Michelle Anna Jordan. It has been Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. Have a great week. If you have any questions about any of this, send me an email at catsmilk@sonic.net or just go become a fan on Facebook, become a fan of Mouthful, and I post all this information on that page. See you next week.
Mouthful is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan. Lawrence Alberti is Mouthful's engineer. For more information about Mouthful, send an email to mouthful@michelleannajordan.com. That's Michelle with one L. You can also download Mouthful's free podcast from krcb.org or from iTunes. Listen to